So you may have just found out you don't have what one would consider to be a great credit score. Or maybe it's okay, hovering just above 650, but you want it to be better. What can you do about it? Julie Kuzmic is the Director of Consumer Advocacy for Equifax Canada. She is here to tell us how you can improve your credit score and how long it is going to take. Hello there.
Hello.
So we know about the score. We know that it is important, and some people don't have a great score. They don't have a great score. What is the first thing you would tell them about time? Because isn't there that cliche that time heals all wounds? To some extent, a credit score just left for things to, if you're performing okay in the present, how much time does it take for your score to improve organically just because you're now doing things right?
Well, the very first thing I would say before even talking about time is to remind people that a credit score is not a moral judgment.
Oh,
them.
Good point.
Yes, there's a lot of shame around credit scores that could be higher. And you know what? If you're paying attention to it and you're starting to get your act together, good on you.
Yeah.
You keep it up. That is fantastic. And do not let concern about what has happened in the past drag you down.
Yeah.
That's a really important first step.
Yep.
Secondly, time, as you point out. So there are regulations across Canada. Credit bureaus are actually regulated provincially, so they vary a bit by province. But what we do is take the most stringent set of rules and we apply it across the board, regardless of which province you live in. The regulations are intended to protect consumers so that negative events on their credit file aren't going to follow them around for the rest of their lives and prevent them from getting back on their feet.
Okay.
So something like a bankruptcy or an item in collections, all of these elements on a credit file, they have an expiry date, a certain amount of time where
it's 7 years.
It's 6 years in most cases. So 6 years for both collections and bankruptcies. There are some provinces that say 7 years for bankruptcies. And what it's a minimum or it's a maximum rather. So it is saying that within 7 years of the bankruptcy occurring, it must have been purged off the credit file. So what we do is we take the 6 years and apply it across the board, which is doing people a favor who are in provinces where the 7 years would be allowed.
So to recap on the variables, we've talked about this before, public record, which is the bankruptcy filing that you've talked about, payment history, credit history, utilization, and hard inquiries. With payment history, you've lost your job, you've gone through a divorce, you can't pay your credit card, you barely make the minimum, you might not make the minimum at all. That's obviously a negative. Say you do that 3 times or for 6 months, let's say 6 months. It's obviously a hit to your score. At what point does the computer forget that you did that? Because you then got a job and you got your life on track. How long does that hang on, those 6 months in which you couldn't pay?
That information usually will stick around for 6 years.
It will. It will stay that time.
Yes. But the further it goes into the past, as time goes on, the less of an impact it's going to have on the overall score calculation.
I see. So it's a pretty sophisticated algorithm then, if it can.
It is. And that's where the layers of complication come from.
Okay. What about utilization? Mm-hmm. So I was like way maxed. I'd run up all my credit cards at Christmas time. It was terrible. But then 6 months later, I had brought the utilization down to something reasonable. How long does it take for it to forgive me for that?
In my experience, utilization, it goes away pretty quickly. So it's not like a missed payment or a late payment, which can affect you for quite some period of time. In fact, it's not uncommon, and you see the odd media article outlining an example of this happening, where somebody makes a big purchase 1 month. So they normally carry a balance, let's say, of $5,000 on their $10,000 limit credit card, need a few new appliances. So they run it up to, say, $9,500 for 1 month and never go over their limit, pay it off as soon as it's due. There is a possibility that that data is reported to the bureau at the time where your balance is $9,500, your limit is $10,000, so you're showing a very high utilization. It's not uncommon that people have a score drop, and sometimes substantially, for a very short period of time.
Right.
As soon as the next month's data comes in to the bureau, you're going to see that score jump back up again, typically.
Right. But enough to freak them out a little bit, because they might not know that it's a one-time
Exactly.
Let's talk about credit history. This was a very real example. I was assessing my credit cards and trying to figure out, you know, should I get a different card? Should I get a new card? And one of the cards that I was looking at swapping out, I have had forever, like since 1987. At what At what point does that credit history, when are we in diminishing returns? When does it not matter? Like, do I need to have had the card for a decade? Or because that's, I guess that's like 30 years, does that make me bionic because it has been that old?
Well, I do love the use of the term bionic when it comes to credit scores. Yeah. So you clearly qualify for that.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure that there is a point where it just doesn't matter. If you have the flexibility to do so, my general advice would be keep the old card around. Right. It's definitely not causing any problems.
Right.
You certainly want to make sure that you don't have any ghost recurring gym membership or something that is charging to it every month that you don't realize and you stop paying.
Right.
You know, that could get you in trouble. But pulling that card out occasionally and using it just to keep that card being active on your file
is not a bad thing.
That's right.
What are some of your top tips for people who want to improve their score?
The first one is, and again, it doesn't sound nearly as exciting as people want, but it really is all about making your payments on time. Mm. And if that means that you need to make a minimum payment, that is okay. That is still keeping up your end of the bargain.
Right. So it's helpful to your score. It's not helpful to reduce your debt load, but it's good for your score. It supports your score.
Exactly.
And that one is so easy to do in that you call your bank and set up an automatic transfer for the minimum payment. Somehow the bank and the lender communicate. They can figure out what that amount is, and it's just transferred out. It's easy.
Yes, it is. That is a really quick win for people who are able to do that. Definitely highly recommend just making sure that at least minimum payment, and better if it's more than the minimum payment.
Yeah.
But if you're having a tough month and need to juggle things around, just make sure you are actually paying your bills. It will go a long way towards helping establish and then maintain a decent credit score.
What else? What else should people be focused on to improve their score?
If you have a short credit history, so that means if you've only started using credit in, say, the last year or two, maybe you're a young person who is just starting out, maybe you're recently arrived in Canada and establishing yourself, then I would say try not to open too many new credit accounts. Mm. That is the situation where those new hard inquiries on your credit file can have more of an impact because you don't have that nice, long, solid credit history behind you.
This was me in the 90s because you wander the mall and they're like, would you like a free ballpoint pen? Yes, I would. You have a t-shirt to go with that? And I ended up applying in particular on store cards, right?
Yeah.
I applied for store cards that I didn't need.
Yes, the lure of the free t-shirt. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. I probably still have the t-shirts. What is different about store cards that people should know about? Is it simply that their rates tend to be higher than ones from bank institutions, or there are other ways in which that plays into the score?
There are some credit score versions which will treat score cards slightly differently from national credit cards. Mm-hmm. So just to use some examples, a store card would be, say, something from the Bay, where you've got a Bay card that is not also a Visa card. Mm-hmm. Of course, now you see a lot of permutations and combinations of these things where there's versions that are also a Visa card. So just trying to make the distinction there. There isn't any generalization I can make for definitely always do this, definitely never do that.
I'm going to ask you to finish up on this question. If there was one misperception that people have about credit scores that you could correct for once and for all, what would that misconception be?
Checking your own credit file or credit score will never have an impact on the credit score.
Okay.
There is a general awareness of that connection between the hard inquiries we were talking about and the possible impact on a credit score. When you check your own credit file or your own credit score, that is always a soft inquiry on your credit file, and it will never have an impact on your credit score. So please don't be afraid to go. And that's really important. You can do it for free. You can get a copy of your credit file from both of the bureaus. Highly recommend people do that at least once a year to keep an eye out for any possible issues.
Knowledge is power.
There you go.
Julie, thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Julie Kuzmic is the Director of Consumer Advocacy at Equifax Canada.